I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. If you're thinking about it, chances are we're talking about it on WHYY's Radio Times.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Radio Times. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Two Pennsylvania legislators, Democrats Dwight Evans and James Roebuck of Philadelphia, have co-authored a bill to recruit and retain more teachers working in rural and urban schools in the state. One of the parts of their proposal is funding to bring the Call Me Mister program to Pennsylvania colleges. Started in South Carolina, its mission is to graduate African American males who want to teach in elementary schools. Most teachers are female, and according to the National Education Association, the number of males teaching in the nation's schools has dropped to a 40-year low. We begin our conversation with James Roebuck, and then we'll be joined by two educators to talk about the NEA findings. And James Roebuck represents the 188th District in Pennsylvania, and that's West and Southwest Philadelphia. James Roebuck, nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pennsylvania graduates thousands of teachers every year. There are a number of education schools across the state. Is the state having trouble keeping these teachers in the state?
We export teachers, and some districts still have trouble recruiting and retaining teachers. So we do produce a large number of teachers, and you are correct that in some instances we have trouble keeping them.
And I would assume that's rural and urban districts where the troubles are?
Predominantly rural and urban districts, and certainly in some general areas of category areas, math, science, special education, are areas where we have trouble retaining teachers in general.
And why is that, do you think?
I think in part it's that some other states offer better incentives. There is certainly the difficulty of getting someone who grows up in a rural area to come to a big city, or someone who grows from a big city to go to a rural area. There is a lack of knowledge and understanding that I think in some instances makes it not seem to be an attractive option.
Well, I want to pull out, and in this legislation, you and Dwight Evans have a whole host of parts of this bill, but the Call Me Mister program, it goes back to South Carolina, started a number of years ago. What interests you in that particular program?
Well, when I first heard about it, I was intrigued at the concept of a program specifically targeted the idea of recruiting and retaining and African American male teachers, but I think that what also drew me to the program is the degree of success they've had in South Carolina in getting the program up and running and it becoming a viable means of achieving that goal.
And what they do is recruit students, train them, certify them, and then also find employment for them, right?
Well, they do. And when you say recruit, they take you must gain entrance to the to your college or university without regard to the program itself. So you are admitted to the university, and once then in that school, you are recruited into the Call Me Mister program. So you do qualify separately in terms of meeting all the entrance standards for that school, but then once in the school, there is an effort made to draw you into the program. And it's my understanding it's been very, very successful in South Carolina. It's changed the character of elementary education in that it's increased substantially the number of males in elementary schools. And it's a program that is successful.
And you want to bring this to Pennsylvania, bring this to universities, colleges in the state?
Yes, yes. It's a statewide program. It would be designed to do this and open it up to students across the state who would be interested in the program.
Now, this is part of a package of bills. When is this going to get voted on?
Well, in fact, the money for the program is in the last budget, so we have the money. The program is now in the process of being defined, and it should be up and running by next year.
By next year, you hope to have the Call Me Mister program up and running in Pennsylvania?
Yes, we do.
Well, James Robuck, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And he's a Pennsylvania State Representative sponsoring legislation to provide a whole host of programs in the state of Pennsylvania, one including a Call Me Mr. program to get more African-American teachers teaching in the state's elementary schools. Let me invite our two guests who've been listening in, joining us here in our Philadelphia studios, both of them involved in education from two very different perspectives. Richard Ingersoll, Professor of Education and Sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. Nice to have you with us. Good morning.
Thank you.
And Salome Thomas L., principal of the Russell Byers Charter School here in Philadelphia. He's been a teacher and administrator in Philadelphia Public Schools for the last 20 years, and he's been a guest from time to time on Radio Time. Salome, nice to have you back with us. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And to our listeners, lines always open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Richard Ingersoll, one of the reasons we wanted to do this show was we saw this NEA finding saying that the number of male teachers in U.S. schools at a 40-year low. What do you think explains that number?
Well, teaching has always been women's work in the sense the majority of elementary and secondary teachers are women, and that's we've had that for 100 years, but there's no question about it. There's this trend that's happened in the last couple decades, and so a couple decades ago it was two-thirds of elementary and secondary teachers were women. Now it's three-quarters, and if we just sort of look along this trend line, it's pretty clear that pretty soon it'll be 9 out of 10 teachers. And this raises a couple big questions.
Sure.
One is the so what question. Is this a problem? Should we be concerned? Why do we need to be concerned about this? And then the second question you mentioned is the why question. What's going on? Why is this happening?
Well, let me take the why first, and I'll get Salome in on this as well. But why do you think men are either not staying in education or choosing another occupation?
Well, historically, this became primarily women's work because women had fewer options. There was few other jobs open to them. And it also fit better with child rearing and family caring and these kinds of things.
Like vacation schedules, those kind of things.
Yes. For men, they had many other options. And so often this was not a particular job or career of choice that they would figure it up and they'd think, geez, there's something over here where it pays better, has better working conditions. So there was always that kind of issue there, but this has increased in recent years, mm-hmm. and so there's fewer and fewer men going in. And I think there's probably several different factors at play here. One is that schools, as a society, we ask more and more of schools and teachers all the time. So tasks that were once the responsibility of parents and families, churches, small communities, etc., we now ask schools to do. I mean, in many ways, the teacher's job has expanded. Mm-hmm. They don't just teach the three R's. They reading, writing, arithmetic. They need to be a parent in many cases. They need to be a social worker. They need to be a counselor. So we've increased the job, in a sense. We've increased the demands. That's one thing that's happened in recent years, and this is going on all the time. A second thing is that, particularly in many states, we've increased the requirements to get into this job. So there's a number of places now where a bachelor's degree in education doesn't do it. You need to have done a fifth year of college-level work. So we've, in a sense, increased those upfront costs. And finally, the third thing that's happened is accountability. Hmm. Accountability, state level, federal level, No Child Left Behind Act. And so as a result of all these things, I mean, if we can think of every job as having a balance, a ratio between giving and getting. How much do you give? When you consider going into a particular line of work, what's it going to take? What are the costs? How much do I give towards this versus how much do I get? What are the rewards? What's the job like? What's the salary like? And in a sense, we can think of this as that ratio has changed, that we're asking teachers to give more. We've increased that side, but we haven't increased the other side of the ratio. We haven't increased the getting. The salaries really in real dollars, once we adjust for cost of living increases, haven't gone up for teachers in the last couple decades. So that's my sense, is that there's different factors here that have made this job less attractive, particularly to men.
Well, let me turn to a man who's been teaching or been an administrator for some 20 years in Philadelphia. Salome, you really then have bucked the trend. Why did you want to be a teacher going back some 20 years ago?
Because of my teachers.
Because of your teachers.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And we're influenced by, you know, our teachers. And when we don't have them, we answer, when we look at the why or why should we care, when we look at those male teachers who are there, you know, children emulate what they see. So, and if you're a young man, if we talk about just the average student, but if we look like a kid who grows up in the inner city, now he's thinking about the NEA or the MBA.
Mm.
So, you know, if we're talking about salaries aren't going up, and we're talking about kids who come out of high school who become millionaires, they begin to say, you know what, I don't even need college. If you decide early on as a fourth, fifth grader that college isn't important, you'll never become a teacher. So, the whole salary issue is something that we truly have to address. And I know the NEA and the AFT are on board with this. There needs to be a national minimum salary. Mm-hmm. And I've always said this, we could change the state of education in 30 seconds if we started a national minimum teaching salary of $50,000. We have to find a way to fund it. We need a lot of James Roebucks. But if we had a national minimum starting salary of $50,000 nationwide, those men that were missing, they show up.
Now, I'm interested in the teachers that inspired you. Were they male teachers? Were they female teachers? Did it matter to you as a kid growing up in the inner city?
It mattered to me because I grew up without a dad. My mother raised eight children as a single mom. So those men who were there, you know, the Mike Robinson, the Spanish teacher and track coach, father mentor at Simon Grass High School, was important. But Marsha Pincus and Deidre Farnby, who were females who were there, also mattered because they helped my mother out who struggled. You know, and they talked about, you grow up and become the kind of man your dad was not. You, when you see those male teachers absent, missing, you grow up and come back and help the same community who supported you and supported your mom. And we need more teachers like that, teachers who understand that their influence is very powerful, and it makes a difference.
And you agree with Richard when he says that teachers today have to be more than just teachers. They have to be, I mean, you're almost saying it as we speak, they have to be parents, counselors, confessors.
Oh, no doubt about
Big
it.
Brothers.
I mean, if you look at, nutritionists, when you look at a teacher looks at their certification, you know, they look at you and say, wow, this is not on my certificate. Almost everything we do today is not on that certificate, but we don't pay you. You know, even if you look at the principal now, if you look at the responsibilities of the school administrator, because there's a large number of principals who are going to retire in the next 5 years also. You look at these men, these women who are administrators, they work the equivalent of CEOs who make $200,000 a year.
Mm.
So how can you expect a teacher to want to now become an administrator? So, you know, we are asking a lot. And then we begin to say, my friends who graduated with me, who have a master's degree, their salary have gone up 30-40% over 6-7 years, yet mine has not changed.
And Richard, we're almost up on a break here, but do you agree with Salome when he says, if we could figure out a kind of a base salary of $50,000, for instance, would that do something, you think, to bring more men into the profession?
There's no doubt about it. I think that, I mean, the data tell us now that the average starting salary for public teachers as a whole across the country is just over $30,000. So, and there's big variations. And, of course, those places that pay more often don't have these kinds of recruitment and retention difficulties. So there's no rocket science there.
Right.
If we could make that job more attractive, these staffing problems would disappear. I mean, after all, you know, well-paid, well-attractive, respected occupations and professions do not have problems with recruitment and retention. In fact, they have a waiting line to get in. Having said all that...
Well, you know what? Hold on to that thought.
Hold on.
Only because they're playing my song, and we've got to take a very short break. Richard Ingersoll, Salome Thomas-El, our guest today on Radio Times. And we're talking about a shortage of male teachers teaching in the nation's schools. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY Gratz College, located in Melrose Park, a non-denominational institution promoting lifelong passionate Jewish enrichment. Registration is open for courses in Jewish studies, professional education, and communal service. To learn more about these programs or Gratz's accredited degree or professional certificate, 1-800-475-4635 or gratz.edu. Gratz College, transforming Jewish studies and professional education.
I'm Farai Chidea. Whether they help shape our world,
I don't believe it's possible the gangster rappers could be nearly as gangster as our government,
or simply react to it.
If we look to hip-hop artists for leadership, we're in serious trouble.
They're people you want to hear, and they're the people you'll find on News and Notes from NPR News.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, Kayville, we meet Anthony Anderson, who stars as a detective on the new Fox TV drama set in post-Katrina New Orleans. Also stand-up comedian and Daily Show contributor Dimitri Martin. He's got a new DVD called Person. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 here on WHYY 91 FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. According to the National Education Association, the number of male teachers is at a 40-year low. Only 9% of elementary school teachers are men. And today on the show, do men bring something different to the classroom? Why aren't there more male teachers? And what can be done to attract more men to the profession? We're talking with Richard Ingersoll, professor of education and sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. Shalom Thomas L., principal of the Russell Byers Charter School here in Philadelphia. And he's been a teacher and administrator in the Philadelphia public school system since 1987. And we've got calls coming in to 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHY. Why? Richard, you wanted to talk more, I guess, about money.
Well,
funding.
On the one hand, there's no question that if we improve the salaries in teaching, that a lot of these recruitment and retention problems would dry up. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we need to be realistic here. This is a tough one, and otherwise it would have already been done long ago. First of all, this is a very large occupation. It's what we call labor-dependent industry, if we want to use that language. In other words, there's a lot of teachers. We've never figured out how to automate it. There's over 3.5 million teachers. And so when we talk about raising teacher salaries, that becomes big dollars. Mm-hmm. And where are those going to come from? And historically, the way we still fund our public schools is there's a very big portion of it that comes from local property taxes. And, of course, local property taxes are one of the least popular things in the United States.
Plus, they run the gamut, of course.
Yes. So I'm not trying to argue against raising teacher salaries. I just find that this is a very tough political thing to take on because there's just so many teachers.
Well, let me turn back to you, Saloma. And Richard had mentioned earlier that, you know, if trends continue the way they are, you could have a point where, you know, 90% of teachers in the country were female, 10% were male. As a school principal, would that be a problem for you? And I don't even know at Russell Byers how many male versus female teachers there are in that school. But by having these sort of inequity, does that create problems in your school? Would it be easier as a principal if you had a, let's say, 50-50 ratio?
Be much easier. I mean, women have basically carried the profession for years, so this is not a knock against women, but they're just some boys who need to be in the presence of a man, especially if it's a boy who's in a home where there's no positive males. Then they come into a school, into a system where they're 80-90% women. And when you go into these tough-to-staff school districts, those numbers do creep up close to 90. Some schools, 100%.
They're all women.
I talk to teachers and principals who work in buildings where there are no males. Even in South Carolina, because I work with the Call Me Mr. program, there are almost 100 school districts in the state of South Carolina, and there are less than 100 black male teachers in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about one per school district, not one per school, one per school district. So it's tough. So if you have more men, then you have those young men who need that role model, who need that mentor.
Do you think boys then respond differently if they have a male teacher versus a female teacher?
Oh, no doubt. You look at the number of discipline referrals, the number of referrals for special education. The numbers are always higher when it's a female and heading a classroom where they're males. But also, those numbers are higher when they're men who are referring females. So it's not like women are biased against male. It's just that when you have the difference, the ratio is much larger. There's a bigger gap. So you're going to have more males there. Males are 50% or below of our population, but yet three-fourths of special education population. They're coming from a profession where the majority of the referrers are female.
Right.
So it makes a big difference. I really think that. And also trying to recruit men into the profession. The best form of recruitment is retention. So when you try to get men in, it's great for them to walk into a building and at least see one or two men. Then when you talk about the primary grades, trying to get a male teacher in a kindergarten or first grade position because people are going to look at you like, why are you working with young children? So it becomes tough for men to make that decision.
Well, and I read a lot of that, Richard, in preparation for the show, the kind of suspicion that male teachers can come under, especially working in the elementary schools. I mean, it seems extraordinarily unfair, but I kept running across this information that they're seen as, you know, why do you want to spend time with eight-year-olds? What's the matter with you?
Yes, and this has been a long-standing problem. You know, the difficulty of getting and keeping men in elementary schools as teachers has been going on for a long time, and in a sense, there's been an informal kind of affirmative action. It's not really legal, but certainly kind of some preference that if you're a male applicant to an elementary school, there's a lot of schools that will grab you very quickly. And but we've never really made very much progress on that. I mean, it's still elementary schools are the teachers are almost, you know, it's the vast majority are women. And, you know, it's maybe parallel to these difficulties that women have encountered getting into traditional male-dominated kinds of jobs and occupations, that you're an outsider, and you sort of need to be above average, and you're under a lot of scrutiny, and you're maybe somewhat isolated, and there's a lot of suspicion. And particularly the elementary school, we have a lot of research just showing us and illuminating how there's real tensions and pressures for the men teachers. And part of it revolves around the very same reasons they're wanted also leads to problems. So you're wanted in there because you're a male, and the idea is, geez, we need some more men doing this. This shouldn't just be entirely done by women in our society. There's some kind of consensus around that. But at the same time, gosh, well, there's this idea, if you're a man, are you nurturant enough? You know, there's these stereotypes that come into play. And there's some very, very interesting research which outlines how the a male elementary school teacher has to kind of negotiate and figure out just how male, quote unquote, to be. If you're too male, the idea is, well, he's too macho, and he's not going to be nurturing enough, particularly at the primary grades, and so that's not really going to work. On the other hand, if you're not male enough, then there's even this sense of child abuse, and there's this sort of general kind of fear in our society about that. And it turns out that this can be a very difficult road to go down for a male to figure out just how male do I be in this setting, with a lot of scrutiny from parents, from the other teachers who are primarily women, and from the administrators.
Well, let me get you to respond to that, Salome. And again, this underscores some of the reading that I did about, you know, even male teachers saying, how do I touch a child, for instance? How do I put on their coat? How do I praise them? And if a man is touching, let's say, a 10-year-old boy or girl, is that going to raise suspicions?
Oh, you're always.
That's real, right?
Oh, it's very real. And I mean, and as a male, you're always conscious. You know, am I in the room alone with another student? Is this student a student who has the potential to say something that may not be true? You're constantly thinking about what could happen. I remember when I started teaching, you know, more experienced teachers said there's certain things you must understand as a teacher. As a male, you are never in that room with a child alone, regardless whether it's a boy or a girl. You're at your door, and you want to be macho, you want to be manly, you know. But also, if we look at the societal issues, you know, we live in basically a fatherless society. We have thousands of children who are living without their fathers. We have fathers who run away from caring for their own children. So to ask these men and then walk into my school and take care of 30 children, you know, it's a stretch. And so if we have to sort of change the image of the father in our society, and even in schools, I'm often preaching that we have to engage fathers. We call the home, dad answers, and we say, can we speak with mom? You know, or we say, can mom come in? We have to give those fathers a chance. And I think once we begin to make it, you know, sort of cool to be involved in school as a dad, we'll begin to see men who want to come in and become teachers. That's why I've tried to be a role model for those men who are on the fence. You know, so many who are in private industry who are teachers at heart. It's just they're afraid to move out of that comfort zone and get into that learning zone and go in there, but they are needed.
You mentioned the fact that men do make a difference in the classroom, and I mean, that should not be a surprise to anybody. But do you think race matters? I mean, let's talk about an inner city school. Does it matter if that teacher, that male teacher, is white or black or Hispanic or Asian?
I think it matters only because it's a symbol for what students can become. I think it's important for white students to have black male teachers because those white students see that there are other men, black men other than T.O. and Michael Vick, that there are black men who are educated, there are black men who care about education. There's unity and diversity. But I think it's important for that young man who walks into school who hasn't had those positive male role models to see a black man who says, you can be me because I was once you. It's powerful.
Richard, do you want to add to that? Then we'll get to our callers.
Well, I absolutely agree, and it gets back to the kind of the so what question. All right, so we have this trend, and we have fewer teachers are men and more are women. Is that a problem? And it is a problem in a lot of ways. I think we can argue that first of all, again, the teacher's job isn't just teaching mathematics. It's also all this parenting, all this socialization, all these other kinds of things. And we have to decide, do we really want this to be solely the work of women? Shouldn't men also be involved in this very important part of our society, that is bringing the next generation into the culture?
Well, maybe the most important thing, don't you think?
Absolutely. And so if men rarely do it, what does that say? It almost starts to imply that, gosh, this isn't important enough for men to do. There's sort of a stereotype there. And then also this whole idea that if we go through elementary school or go through school in general and we see few men, it sort of perpetuates the stereotype. Well, this isn't really something I should do because I don't see any men doing it, kind of thing.
They see the male cook. They see the male security officer. They see the male janitor. And then they begin to question, do I really need 12 years of school? Or do I really need college? Because the men that I see are men who aren't in those professional positions. So it becomes a cycle.
Let me just reintroduce you both, and I do want to get some callers in on the conversation. The voice you just heard, Salome Thomas-El, principal of the Russell Byers Charter School here in Philadelphia. He's been a teacher and administrator in the Philadelphia school system since 1987. Richard Ingersoll, professor of education and sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. And we invited both of them to join us today on Radio Time to talk about the fact that the number of male teachers teaching in the U.S. today at a 40-year low, and that's according to the National Education Association. Give us a call here on Radio Times. We'd love to hear from male teachers in our audience, or frankly, teachers in general. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We've got Brian from Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
In getting on to what you guys are talking about, I had a nephew that graduated from the University of Missouri, and he was teaching in the school district there in Jefferson City. And, you know, great education at the university, but when he started teaching in the district, I mean, he started out at $19,000, $20,000 a year.
Wow.
And, you know, $19,000, $20,000 a year after you've paid, you know, what, $75,000, $80,000, $100,000 in
Indeed.
Education.
Indeed.
It's just not going to make it. And then, especially for, you know, I think for a young black man, you know, first of all, I think in a lot of instances, you know, like you all were talking about earlier, I mean, a lot of people, they look at a black teacher and they're like, well, can he do this job? I mean, you know, and then the fact that you're not making enough money, you have to do something to, I think, get more African Americans to come and do it. Now, I know I would love to teach, but, you know, with the salary they make, I'm making more money doing what I'm doing now.
And that's driving a truck, right, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me get to Salome Thomas-El just to respond to your comments. I'm underscoring what both of you said about the salaries. I mean, what, $19,000, $20,000? I mean, I don't know how things are in Jefferson City, Missouri, but that's, you know, those are poverty wages in many ways.
Marty, I've been to Utah. I've been to Montana, Arizona. These teachers are starting at $20,000, $25,000, $28,000 a year. It is unbelievable. So we talk about a national minimum. I think the EA was looking at $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I said if we want to up the ante and start getting some of these graduates from these Ivy League schools and some of these folks who can really come in and handle requirements, if we went to $50,000, then we wouldn't have the problem in any school district. But I think as a black man, when you come from a community where you haven't really had options and now you're educated, they have so many options. And you're now, before 20, 30 years ago, before integration, you lived in a community where The doctor lived on your block. The teacher lived on your block. You went around a corner and you saw the local businessman who graduated college. Now they all live in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. So now you only see the drug dealer and the thief every day. So you begin to question, you know, can I become those men? But also there's a responsibility. You need to make a good deal of money because people expect you. You went to college. You've been better off in the state pen instead of Penn State if you're going to come out making $20,000 a year. So there's a responsibility, and sometimes it encourages young men to not pursue teaching because they will never be able to take care of their families.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for the call to Radio Times. I wonder, and this is picking up at something you said earlier, Richard, about just how teachers are educated these days and obviously needing that extra year in many school districts. But what about looking at the sort of more non-traditional teachers? And I certainly remember teachers that I had, and perhaps education-wise, they might not have been the most educated, but teacher-wise, they're the ones that I remember. Is it time to sort of open up the credentialing of teachers and allow more people somehow into the profession?
Well, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, compared to many other occupations and professions, this is a really open one. There's a lot of different routes to get in there, and most states now have what's called alternative certification, which is kind of it's something different than that traditional thing where you go to college for 4 years and you get your bachelor's degree in education and you get your state teaching certificate and you're in the classroom. And so there's an awful lot of variety going on, and there's an awful lot of debate, often mm-hmm. quite heated, as to what's the best way to make a teacher. What's the kinds of preparation and coursework that the adequately qualified teacher ought to have? We don't have consensus on that. Mm-hmm. That's a very heated issue. But there's a tremendous amount of variety and experimentation going on now. And part of it is a response to this. There's some sense that, gosh, we have these shortages. In this case, we don't have enough men. Let's open up the gates.
Right.
And let's make it easier to get in. Well, let's open up the gates a bunch. Now, there's a second piece, which is sometimes let's lower the bar to make it easier to get in. That, I would say, would be unfortunate, just mm-hmm. that this is very difficult work to do well, and the idea that anyone can go in and do a good job and they don't need much background, to me, that's naive.
Do you agree with that, Salam?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. My wife asked me yesterday, we were sitting down for one of the few times we could have breakfast. You know,
you're a busy guy.
I'm an educator, so.
Yeah. 24/7, right?
Oh, 24/7. But she said, do you really think that you can make a good teacher? Somebody walks in off the street from private industry and says, you know, I want to be a teacher. And I said, yes, if you give me someone who's intelligent, someone educated, someone who has a heart for teaching. See, because if children know that you don't care about them, you don't love them, they won't believe a word you say.
Really?
So I don't care how intelligent you are. If you don't have a heart for children and you don't love children, it is very difficult to teach them. But if you have the heart, there's so many people who are working at FedEx and IBM and all these corporations who are teachers at heart. A lot of times they become trainers in their own professions. But the salary just keeps them from coming back. And also the requirements and all the other issues mm-hmm. and the stigma. Wow, you're just a teacher. How much do you make? See, we have to be proud to say, I make a difference. And that's what this job is all about, is that you're reaching children who will someday reach other children.
And we're almost up on a break here, but do you think there's enough advancement, Salam, in school? So let's say you are a teacher, you've been there 20 years. Is there that next rung that allows someone still to teach, but also have a fuller profession?
Well, that's an issue, too, because as a teacher, if you want to get to that next rung, it's to become an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they become coaches. That's why you have the majority of your men in high schools, because they can coach, supplement the income without becoming that painful administrator.
And that's coming from an administrator, Salam Thomas-El. Also with us, Richard Ingersoll from the University of Pennsylvania, talking about bringing more male teachers, educating more male teachers to teach in the nation's schools, and we got a full bank of calls here at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Pennsylvania Ballet supports WHYY and presents choreographer Paul Taylor's Company B, set to the Andrews Sisters hits at the Merriam Theater October 10th to 14th. Also in this program is George Balanchine's Concerto Barocco and Matthew Neenan's As It's Going. Pennsylvania Ballet performs Company B at the Merriam. For tickets, 215-336-2000 or www.paballet.org.
When discussing post-traumatic stress disorder in soldiers, experts usually refer to soldiers who fought in Vietnam or the Iraq War. But what about World War II vets? Did they suffer less because they fought a different war and were considered heroes when they returned home? Join Dan Gottlieb for the next Voices in the Family when we'll examine PTSD in World War II vets and hear personal accounts from veterans. Today at noon on WHYY 91 FM.
The Cardiovascular Center at the Chester County Hospital supports WHYY. Just as we're a partner in cardiac surgery with Cleveland Clinic, we want our patients to be partners in care with us. To help you get the facts you need, our website now features important information about quality of care, patient satisfaction, and more. Located in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and online at 866drheart.com, the Cardiovascular Center is part of the health network of the Chester County Hospital, beyond good care.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. According to the National Education Association, the number of male teachers in the United States working in the nation's schools at a 40-year low. In elementary schools, only 9% of teachers are men. That's down 18% from a generation ago. Why are more men choosing something besides teaching as a profession? Does it matter to students if their teacher is a male or female? And if it does, what can be done to recruit more male teachers? Talking with Richard Ingersoll, Professor of Education and Sociology at the University of Pennsylvania, and Salome Thomasell, principal of the Russell Byers Charter School here in Philadelphia. Richard, you want to make a comment about administrators, and we'll get back to our callers.
Well, yes. While teaching is predominantly women's work and has long been so, and that's increasingly the case, the opposite is true for school administrators. That's predominantly male. Now, there's been inroads. The numbers of principals, for instance, that are women has increased in recent years. But still, over half the school principals in this country are men and not women. So you get this funny imbalance going on. And, you know, the traditional model is you have male managers and you have female employees, and there's a hierarchy here. And so that's kind of a second piece to the puzzle here.
Well, let me get back to our callers, and we've got Sally from Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Hi, Sally. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi. Hi there. I just want to tell you that my daughter entered third grade with a male teacher, and she was very reluctant and scared at first, but then became absolutely thrilled to what he was bringing to the classroom.
And what was he bringing, Sally?
From your daughter. Different perspective. I mean, everything from sports, which is she loves, to just his presence. And, you know, I haven't met him yet. Back to school is this weekend, so I'm interested to see what he brings to the table as well. But, you know, he was just thrilled with it, and it was just different.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me get a response from Salome.
Thank you.
And you're welcome, Sally. We were talking about the effect of male teachers on boys, but here's a mom whose daughter's got a third-grade male teacher, and the daughter a little reluctant at first, something new and different, but she's bought into it, clearly.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful experience for young ladies who may not have those positive images. Mm-hmm. It's important for young ladies to see early what healthy love from a male looks like. See, we have so many young ladies, when they get older, they're open to so many predators because they haven't had the experience in their lives to see that what a positive male looks like, smells like. You know, so I'm my daughter, for the first time, she's a first grader.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And, of course, I'm elated she has a male teacher, because I've seen so many go through the entire elementary experience and not have a male teacher. But men are able to just sort of, you know, balance the scales a little bit, and especially for those young ladies who may be looking for other avenues. You know, she talked about the sports and
right.
other things. And so I've always used it when I recruit female chess players. You know, they're reluctant initially because these are, you know, chess and mathematics. Young ladies shy away, but if you have a male who says, hey, this, you can be very good at this, they become a lot more confident.
Well, these stereotypes, boy, they really hang on, don't they, Richard Ingersoll?
Well, yeah, the caller's point is actually a wonderful illustration. So at first her child is very reluctant that somehow it's not normal, it's not okay, it's maybe a little odd that this teacher is male.
But or maybe even a little scary.
Yes, yes. And so I think from the teacher's viewpoint, they're well aware that there's this kind of reticence and feeling or even suspicion. So, but it turned out all right. So it kind of is a nice illustration of the challenge here.
All right. Let me get to, and Sally, thanks for the call. We've got Brad from Chicago joining us. Hi, Brad. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Yes. As I mentioned, I had taught in Chicago. I moved out to Chicago because of the layoffs in Michigan with the Wixom Ford plant closing down. They lost the tax base. I'm also the son of, my father's taught fifth grade in Michigan for 40 years now. He's entering his 40th year. I'd love to have him on the radio, but obviously he's at work right now.
Yeah, you have to speak for him.
Every point that's been made today, right down to the kids being intimidated by a male, things like how much affection you can show. When I was in Chicago, I had a child whose father was, there was actually a police notice sent to me by fax about half hour after I found out the threat from the child herself. And I came in, I was my student's third teacher, and it was only October. It was only October. They had scared away two teachers by then. It was a very rough school. No toilet paper. There was one working drinking fountain on the whole floor.
How long did you stay there, Brad?
I stuck it out through the year. I'll be honest, after my first day, I felt like I should run. The second day was parent-teacher conferences with report cards I had not seen.
Wow.
And I quickly was called a fool by all the other teachers for passing out my cell phone. But a lot of the parents, obviously having gone through two teachers within 2 months, wanted to know what's going on.
Sure.
And I had enough support from them that I stuck it out.
Well, that's good. And Brad, let me just jump in here because I think you've underscored some things that we've been talking about here. To you, Richard Ingersoll, I mean, what this, I think, underscores is how difficult teaching can be. And if you're the third teacher in a matter of 6 weeks in a classroom in an elementary school, you're going to have a big job in your hands.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I'm a former high school teacher myself, and now I'm a college professor. And I am stunned all the time by the attitude out there that this really isn't that difficult work. You don't really have to be all that smart. I don't know how widespread this attitude is, but you run into it all
you
the
too.
Time. And
you too.
It's maybe partly tied into the idea, well, this isn't really men work for men. This is work for women, and there's some kind of stereotyping. And it's always stunning to me because high school teaching was the hardest thing I ever did. And not that what I do now is easy or not difficult, but teaching high school was so much more difficult than teaching, say, at the college level. I mean, it's very demanding work. And back to this issue earlier about what would be the appropriate training preparation, you know, how do we make and can we make a teacher? And there's a whole kind of nature-nurture argument here. And there's one viewpoint, which is you can't make a teacher. They're born. And sure, there may be some truth to that, but at the same time, to me, there's all these skills that can be taught in a teacher education, in a preparation program. I went through one. I wouldn't have ever wanted to teach without going through that
really?
Kind of preparation
really?
And learning how to manage 25 17-year-olders, who half of whom may not want to be there and may not like you and are really are determined not to learn. Now, just how does one tackle that? This takes a great deal of energy and skill.
You want to speak to that, Salome?
Yeah, well, I think
a knowing nod from you. But
yeah,
yes, go ahead.
But I think that if we're going to save our profession, I think men have to decide that they're going to make the sacrifice and come back into our schools, and more specifically in the elementary schools. What we've done at Russell Byers, as we've said, we're going to begin with us. We're going to take responsibility for what happens in the community. And so what we've developed, an intern teaching position, where we've taken on 5-6 people who want to be teachers, that have bachelors, some have masters, are already certified teachers, mm-hmm. have agreed to take a lower salary and work alongside an experienced teacher, work in a school, have some responsibility, go to professional development, come to all the team meetings, planning meetings, and then decide after a year if they want to become a teacher. And if so, they've already had a year of responsibility, of accountability, but not the pressure. And so these are people who, they may not end up staying at Russell Byers, but they'll go somewhere and become a much better teacher because they haven't been the third or fourth teacher in 3 months. They haven't had the students who've threatened to flatten the tires and threatened to get rid of you. These are teachers who've had a chance to work with children who want to learn, with teachers who want to teach other teachers.
Let me pick up on something you said earlier, and this isn't related to men or women as teachers, but you're saying if a teacher really loves the kids know it. But you often hear about teachers complaining about discipline problems, that you have to really lay down the law. And sometimes that seems contradictory. If you're too nice, too loving, the kids will take advantage. True?
Right.
Not true?
Well, discipline is a form of love, you know. See, the president has his leave no child behind, but our parents believe in leave no child with a behind. So, you know, our parents had a way to come into school and work with our teachers, but our parents had a teachable spirit. See, we have many young parents now who have, you know, the Cabbage Patch doll in one hand and then the feminine napkin in the other hand because they don't know if they're going to be a child or an adult. So these 30 and 35-year-old grandmothers make it very difficult for the teacher who now has to purchase uniforms, buy clothes, buy school supplies, and it's very taxing. But teachers who understand that I must make it hard on them early so that it'll be easier on them later on in life are people who are a lot more successful.
And by hard, you mean having rules and making demands and expectations.
You don't wear your hat in my classroom. You don't use the N-word. I don't care if that is your blood relative. It's not proper. You come to school on time, and you will go to Yale instead of jail.
Thoughts on that, Richard? Then we'll get back to our callers.
Well, yes, it's very good to be friendly as a teacher, but the teacher is not there to be the student's friend. It's a very different role, and different from parents also, in the sense that, I mean, for instance, you have 25 students in that classroom, and each of those is a unique little being, etc., and that's how their parents view them. But in many ways, your job as a teacher is to not treat them differently, to treat them all the same in some ways. That sounds sort of harsh and cruel, right. But to do otherwise is favoritism, in a sense.
And so, you're being watched, too, are you not,
yes,
by these students?
Yes, and so this is a difficult job to do really well and to bring that off. And your job is to sort of get them out there for that world. And in many ways, it's a world that, you know, treats them the same.
And the teacher's the only service provider who is required to treat all of their patients at the same time. You don't work with the individual. You work with a group of 25, 30 students at the same time. It's difficult.
Let me get to John from Drexel Hill to join us. Hi, John. Go ahead. Your Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
Just wanted to react a little bit to the notion about teaching people who have heart for teaching. I made an attempt with the Philadelphia school system and with New York City's Department of Education. I'm a master's degree person, but I don't have an undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was willing to go in for those salaries. And the problem was is that without the undergrad degree, I was actually ineligible to become a teacher. The irony of it now is that in Philadelphia, I actually train volunteers to go into public schools as tutors for children K through 4.
And John, you have a BA, but it's not in teaching, right?
No, I don't have a BA. I have a master's in human service. I don't have an undergrad degree, and that was the pivotal point about not being accepted by Philadelphia or New York school system to teach.
Non-traditional program.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're saying from your and here you are training people, I guess, to
go into schools to work with teachers to do tutoring for children who have difficulty reading and have difficulty with math. And as a part of Experience Corps, we have 300 volunteers that we put in public schools.
Now here's someone who had a heart for children,
for
children, but because of the requirements, was not given the opportunity, wanted to teach. You have so many people who don't want to teach, but because the requirement is that you must have the BA or BS, and not necessarily in education, but in order to get the certification. And since he went through a non-traditional program where he was granted a master's and not a bachelor's, he was not able to get the certificate. Yeah. We lost the opportunity. Those children lost the opportunity for someone who obviously is competent because he's training people who go in and work with children. So it's a big loss.
Yeah, and you were talking about this earlier, Richard, about training.
I would say that that's unfortunate, and particularly as the entry and preparation and training requirements for teaching have gone up, there's a lot of complaint. People say, geez, there's all these bureaucratic barriers to getting into the classroom. And certainly there's no question that sometimes you have really good people that you'd really want in the classroom where it's just too burdensome to do these licensure or certification requirements. But, you know, this needs to be put in context. To tell you the truth, compared to other occupations and professions, teaching is one of the easiest ones to get in. Its barriers are so much less than many others. I mean, I could talk about what it takes to become a professor and the many years to get a PhD, and it's way beyond anything to get into K through 12 teaching. So yes, there's some requirements, and yes, sometimes they might not make sense, and yes, sometimes they're going to keep out people that really ought to be in there. But that's true for any line of work. I mean, there's people that really would make great lawyers but haven't been able to get into or get through law school. On the other hand, there's the flip side. There's people that have gone through law school or teacher training school who did terrific in it but shouldn't be doing the law or teaching.
All right, indeed. And let me get to John, thanks for the call. We've got Bill now from Bethlehem. Hi, Bill. Go ahead. You're Radio Times. Almost out of time, but go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I am an elementary level teacher in Bethlehem Area School District, and it is also I work with a couple of men actually in the elementary level, and it's actually my opinion that I think pay is a big issue. This is my second career. I took a pay cut. I was in the business world in sales, and I took a pay cut to take this position to spend more time with my kids. It helped that both of my parents were teachers as well, so I was familiar with the lifestyle. But I think pay can come down to a major issue for a lot of. It's still a figurehead in the family, which is a father. So I'll take your comments off.
And Bill, I have a quick question for you. How much of a pay cut did you have to take?
Let's see. I went from, in sales you can do between 80,000 and 90,000 a year, and I'm down to 40. Because when you start your career, it's really geared for 21, 22-year-old, $35,000 to $37,000 a year, at least up here in the Lehigh Valley.
Right.
So I started as I would have at 21. I didn't get any life experience credits for my time in the business world. And, but it's wonderful that I can spend more time with my children, so I can't really put a price on that. But the bottom line is when the mortgage payment's due, it's due, and it gets very difficult sometimes. But luckily, my wife has a PhD, so she took some of that burden as well. So, it's this relationship that you kind of have to work through to make your life work on an individual basis. But
indeed,
in general, I think pay has a lot to do with it.
Well, I appreciate the call, Bill, to Radio Times.
No problem.
And we're almost out of time here. Salim, do you want to just respond to that? I mean, we've almost come full circle. You had mentioned pay. At the top of the hour.
No doubt about it. As a man who's the provider in the family, and a good number of teachers go into teaching because they know they can take off, have children, and come back. But those men who are there are going to be there. So it comes to salary. If we can get that national minimum, you can imagine the man. Amen to you for making that commitment, because so many men never make that sacrifice. So, I'll just close with, my mother always said to me that every teacher is not a parent, but every parent is a teacher. If we can eliminate some of those issues in school, I think it'll be a lot easier to attract males and females, to the profession.
Well, much more to talk about. Thank you both for joining us today in Radio Times. Thanks a lot. Salim Thomasel, principal of the Russell Byers Charter School here in Philadelphia. Richard Ingersoll, professor of education and sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. And that's it for today's edition of Radio Times. We appreciate your phone calls to the show. Much more to talk about always when we talk about education. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. Find out more about the program. We've got years of archived interviews about education on our website as well. I'm Marty Moss Cohen, and you're listening to WHYY FM Philadelphia, your member supported news and information station serving Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.